Amen. Thank you, Ruth, for your ministry and song tonight. If nothing else was said after listening to those pieces, you would have absolutely no excuse should you not think seriously about your sin and your soul. And if you slipped out into a lost eternity, and that would be an absolute tragedy. But if you did that, you would have no excuse having listened to what you've just heard. Thank you, Ruth, for your ministry as always tonight. Thank you for inviting me to come to share with you in this harvest weekend. I have thoroughly enjoyed it. I've been richly blessed in my own soul in many, many different ways. Thank you to Colin for his very kind words of welcome today, for leading the meeting and for his encouragement. Now tonight I want to turn with you to the Word of God, so please, if you have a Bible, turn with me to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, and we want to begin our reading at verse 13. And as we do that, we trust that God will take His Word tonight and He'll make it real and relevant to every single one of us. Luke chapter 12, and verse 13. And one of the company said unto him, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Amen. God will add his blessing to the reading of his word. Let's pray just for a moment. Father, we thank you for the ministry and song tonight. We thank you for the blessing of it, and we thank you for the challenge of it. And we pray that you would continue to bless Ruth as she ministers for the Lord in these days. We thank you for the reading of your precious word of truth. Father, we ask that as we come to ponder these verses together, that you might speak lovingly and tenderly and yet urgently to each one of us, so that we might count the cost, realizing that none of us are here to stay. And our Father, that through simple faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we might prepare for the great eternity that is yet to come. So please grant us the help of the Holy Spirit and speak to every one of us tonight, we pray, in our Saviour's precious and worthy name. Amen. Amen. Already today we have been thinking about this harvest season, that time of the year when in a very special way we set aside weekends like this just to think about the goodness of God toward us. And this morning we were thinking about the faithfulness of God, because God never lets his children down. He provides for everything that they need. And even though when times might be tough, as they have been for the number of months that we have just come through, our Heavenly Father knows everything about us. He's not only a good God and faithful in every way, but he's a God with whom each one of us have to do. And sometimes when we think about the harvest season, and we think about all the gifts that God in his grace has given to us, Sometimes we become so preoccupied with the gifts that we forget about the giver. In other words, we take so many things for granted from the hand of God, and it is so important that we look at all of these things in the right way and that we understand that the giver is always more important than the gifts. And tonight I want to turn your thoughts here for the time that remains to a man that I'm sure all of us have read about in the scriptures before here in Luke 12. And I want to remind you of some important lessons from a foolish farmer. You see, here was a man who lived his life, but he lived his life without any thought of God. And here was a man so preoccupied with his life that he didn't think much about death. And here's a man who was so involved with his goods, he forgot about God, and so interested in his accounts, he forgot there was a day of accountability that was yet to come. So whenever you and I come to look at this man, I hope that you and I will learn lessons from this, because just as I have described this man, there are many people in our world tonight who find themselves in exactly the same place. Life has been so good to them. They never stop once to think about death. They're unprepared and they're going to slip out into a lost eternity. They're going to die without Christ and they're going to die without hope. When there was every possibility that they might be saved and that they might be sure of a place in God's heaven. Let me say two things here about this man as time permits. The first is this. This man was living well, but he was living life with the wrong priorities. You see, when we're introduced to this man here in Luke 12, the background is that Jesus Christ has been warning his disciples to be wary of the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. And then he goes on and he speaks about two things that were very important in Jesus' day, and two things that have a very high status in our society today too, because he speaks about riches and he speaks about covetousness. Here's what he says, Luke 12:15. Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. You see, there were many people in Jesus' day, just as there are in our own day, who believed that if a man was wealthy, and if he had accumulated a lot of possessions, that somehow the favor of God looked down upon that individual. If he was rich, then somehow God must have blessed him. He had found favor with God, and there was something certainly about this man that must have got God to treat him so favorably. So when they saw his wealth, they saw that wealth as a sign of the blessing of God upon an individual. Now, a very simple reading of the verses I've read to you tonight would remind us that this man that I want to introduce you to was very wealthy. There can be no doubts about that. He was a farmer, and he was a farmer who was doing very well. Everything he put his hand to, it just seemed to turn to gold. This man was so preoccupied with life that he was looking forward to days of great gain. He was looking forward to a time whenever he would sit down and he'd put his head back and he'd look at life and he'd enjoy the rest of that life. But he was living with the wrong motives. He was so taken up with himself he had forgotten about God. Let me tell you four things about this man very quickly. The first thing you'll note, he had plenty. Verse 16. He spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain man, rich man, brought forth plentifully. This man didn't lack anything. You and I, to use an Ulsterism, might say that this man had a bob or two. This man was doing well in his farming life. It was reaping great benefits. He was prospering and he probably had far more than he would ever need. His business life was flourishing. Money was not an issue for him. And as long as he was wise with his money, he could then enjoy the rest of his life. He had plenty. And I note he had problems. Verse 17 tells us, he thought within himself, saying, "What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits." You see, he was not only doing well, he was doing better than he thought, and he couldn't cope with what was happening in his life at that time. So he had this idea that, look, I can't go on the way I am in a present state. I need to do something about this. I need to enlarge my territory. I need to start a building program. So this man not only had plenty and he had problems, we notice that he had great plans. He said, "This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods." To put it simply, this man had so much. He needed to branch out. He needed to take stock of everything he had. He needed to look at things from another angle. He couldn't keep up with anything and everything that was happening around him. There could be no standing still. So he decided he'd put his plans into action. And God tells me tonight that this man had pleasure on his mind. Verse 19. Here's what he says. "I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." This man had come to a stage in life where he thought, you know what, I don't need anything more. I have everything that I need. In fact, I have far more than I need. So it's time to build these barns. It's time to enlarge my territory. And you see, when I have all of that done and everything in its proper place, I'm just going to sit down, enjoy my retirement, put my feet up, and I'm just going to enjoy the rest of my life. But it wouldn't be like that. He was a man concerned only with what he could get out of life. Here was a man concerned only with things which in themselves may have been legitimate, but he was making one great mistake. And the mistake that he made was this. This man was living his life without God. This man was living a life where God didn't feature in his thinking. You know, there are multitudes of people today who are doing that. I could give a long list of time permitted, but I'll keep this simple and I'll say it like this. Some of them are young people. And they're making some of the most momentous decisions that they're ever going to make. They're coming through life. They're being educated. They're sitting down to think about where they'll study. They're starting to think about what will be their job. They're starting to prepare for the end of their life. Never once do they stop to think about God. He doesn't figure in their plans. It's not important now. I'm young. I have plenty of time. You see this God thing? I leave it to a time when it suits me. Young person tonight, if you're sitting here and you're not a Christian, whatever decisions you make in life, whatever plans you make with your life, you make sure that God is at the very center of them. You make sure that you come early in life and you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. And whatever you do in life, the most important thing is to live for Him. And keep Him at the very center of all that you do. But it's not just young people. There are older people and they do the same. But these people are at the other end of the spectrum. I talked to a man quite recently, and in the course of conversation, he began to talk to me, "Well, you know what? I've just started into my years of retirement. I'm going to enjoy them." I said, "That's great." And he said, "You know what? I've everything sorted out." I said, "That's great." He says, "I spoke to the family. They know everything that I want, right down to my funeral. I've it all planned and the will's in place." I said, "That's great." With a big smile on his face, he was about to walk away, and I said to him, "There's something else What's that? Well, I said you've this sorted out and that sorted out and that sorted out. What about your soul? What about your soul? You see, it's one thing to come through life and make all the preparation for the years to come as far as your family's concerned. But what about your own soul? Do you know one day I was in a home taking a meeting and I noticed an old man sitting over in the corner and his walking stick in his hand, and he listened to the singing and he listened to the speaking, and I could see him with his head down. And I went over to him and I introduced myself and I said, "I'm John Taylor." He says, "I'm Taylor too." And I thought, I have to watch what I say here. I hope he's not related to me. And we went on and we talked, and the next thing he said to me, he says, "If I'm spared to my next birthday, I'll be 94. I said, "That's great." And he said, "I've lived a great life." And I said, "That's great." And he says, "Most of my family are all gone." And I said, "That's sad." And I took him by the arm and I said, "From one tailor to another, tell me, sir, have you ever made your peace with God?" "What do you mean?" And I said that I explained to them the way of salvation, and I said to this man, whatever else he had achieved in life, whatever he'd accomplished throughout that long life, the one thing he didn't have and the one thing that mattered the most was faith in Jesus Christ, because time was not on his side. I prayed with him, left him in tears. I went home. The very next morning my phone rang. And it was another pastor, and he phoned me. He said, "John, did you go in to see so-and-so yesterday?" I said, "No, I didn't go in to see him. But I saw him sitting, and I went to talk to him." He said, "I went to see him last night, and he was sitting in tears, and he trusted Christ." He trusted Christ. You see, whether we're young or whether we're old, the most important thing about life is knowing Jesus Christ as our Savior. Whatever else we accomplish with our lives, whether it be much or whether it be little, whenever it comes to the end of the journey, you and I must be ready to meet God. You might say to me tonight, "That's great, I almost agree with you, but sure, have I not got plenty of time?" Well, here's the answer to that. For firstly, this man was living well, but he was living with the wrong priorities in life. But the second thing I note here is this man was leaving soon, but he was leaving with no preparation for eternity. Here's what we read. As this man continues to prosper with all his worldly possessions, as he sought to gain all that he could of this world's goods, this is what he said to himself in Luke 12:19. "And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." This man thought he had it made. This man thought that very soon he would reap the benefits of his life's work, and then he was going in his latter years to enjoy life to the full. Until we read this, verse 20. "But God said unto him," "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee, then whose shall these things be that thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." This man didn't realize that he was leaving soon. And by that I mean he was leaving this old world behind. He was going to slip out into eternity. He'd leave behind all that he owned, all that he had accumulated, Everything he'd worked for, he was going to leave it all behind. And solemnly, this man was not ready to go. You'll note he was thinking of many years. God was thinking of that very night. And he was thinking of enlarging his accounts, and God was thinking of his call to accountability. I want to say two things about that. Because this man was soon leaving the world in which he lived. And friends, believe it or not, but every single one of us tonight will soon be leaving. Will soon be leaving. For this man, it would be very sudden. God says, tonight, thy soul is required of thee. Now remember what this man's priorities were. He was thinking of a bigger farm. And he was thinking of a brighter future. And he was convinced he had many years. He didn't even have many weeks. He didn't even have many days, because the countdown had already begun. The writing was on the wall, and that very night this man was going to be called to accountability. And even while he thought, and he planned, and he schemed, and he prepared, that very night, without a moment's notice, he would leave everything behind. And he would go out into eternity. Can I ask you just for one moment? It may be personal, but it's vitally important. Have you ever thought about that day? Whenever you might be leaving. Leaving this world. Leaving all that you own. Leaving all those that you hold dear to your heart. Leaving all those whom we love so dearly. Because you see, either the trumpet will sound, and we will go to meet the Lord Jesus Christ in the air, or else the angel of death will come knocking at our door, and we're going either way to believing. Some people believe, of course, that we're here to stay, but that's not true. One of these days, the world we know will know us no more forever. And we'll simply leave all behind, and we'll go out into God's great eternity. And it could be far more sudden than we think. Standing one day at a funeral, on a Monday at 2 o'clock, away out in the heart of the country, a man had been buried just the day after I came home from holidays. He was a good godly man, prepared early in life, and trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior. So when it came time for him to leave, he was ready. And there, standing at the graveside, just looking into the coffin, before it was covered over, this man walked up to me. And he grabbed me by the arm and he said to me, "Can I ask you something?" I said, "Of course you can." And he said, "How long have you known this man?" I said, "Not really very long, but he was a good godly man." He said he was one of the best men I've ever known. He was one of the best neighbors I've ever known. And he said, "I can't believe how suddenly he has gone." And I looked at the man and I said, "Sir, we're all going. It's a matter of when and it's a matter of where." And I said to him, "Are you ready to go? Should the call of death come like this man was?" He said, "No." But he said, "I hope I get time." And I left him. And before the end of the week, he was buried in the same graveyard a few feet from the best friend he'd ever known. His time to leave had come. And he slipped out into eternity.
Friends, tonight, if we look at this man before us in the pages of Scripture, when we leave this whole world, we'll leave it just as we entered it, with absolutely nothing. It doesn't matter whether we have 60 acres or 600 acres, it'll just take 6 or 7 feet to hold us in Mother Earth. That's why I hope you are listening to what Ruth said tonight in her ministry. Be in time. Be in time. When the voice of Jesus calls you, be in time. Maybe you're sitting here tonight and you've been thinking about spiritual things. Maybe you've been saying to yourself, do you know what? I'd love to be saved. I'd love to know that when my time comes, that I'm going to be with Christ, and the Bible says that's better by far. But I've never taken that step of faith. Why not tonight? Why not come to Jesus Christ and put your trust in Him this evening? You say to me, but why Jesus Christ? Because He's the only Savior for sinners like us. He's the one who came into the world to die on an old rugged cross, and through His death, the Lord Jesus Christ has opened up a way for every one of us. That if we come in repentance and in simple faith and put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, everything will change in a moment of time. He says it as simple as that. Well, Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. That's you, that's me. And in order that we might be saved, He went to the cross and He died on that cross. He carried our sin with Him there. You and I need to come as a sinner to Jesus. And bow at the foot of that old rugged cross and look at Him. And say with absolute faith, I do believe, I will believe that Jesus died for me. That's all that it takes. It's only a step to Jesus. Then why not take it now? Come and thy sin confessing to Him, thy Savior by. You say to me, but why now? Simply because you're still in time and you're not in eternity. But there's a day coming when you'll be in eternity and it'll be forever too late. I read an interesting article how that on the 12th of August in 1985, a Japanese airliner, 747, took off from the airport carrying 524 passengers to their destination. They were flying exactly for 32 minutes when there was a mechanical failure and the aircraft began to dive out of control. It swept into remote countryside just 58 miles from the airport, and out of those 524 passengers, there were only 4 who survived. That wasn't what really interested me, sad though it was. It was that which was said of one of the passengers who had died. They found a handwritten note, and it said this, "Here, children, take good care of your mother. The aircraft is diving and there's no hope. There's no hope." Why on earth would you live without Christ and die without hope? When that cross erected on Golgotha's hillside tonight gives you the opportunity to come and to bow before the Savior of sinners and to put your trust in Him, not just in time, but for the whole of eternity. Why would you die without hope and be lost whenever you could trust Christ and be saved? As far as leaving this world was concerned, for this man, it was very sudden. But the second thing I note is this, it would be very solemn. Because the rich man would die, but that wasn't the end of the matter. He thought he was prosperous. He thought he had plenty. He thought it was all his, and it wasn't, because like him, all of us are only a steward and we're accountable to God. And this man, so taken up with life, forgot about death. And he forgot that he had a soul that would last throughout the countless ages of eternity. How solemn is that? That here's a man who had everything in life, and he had nothing in death. Do you know one of the great tragedies of being engaged in pastoral ministry is going to a home, or perhaps standing at the bed of a loved one in hospital, and there they are fighting for life, just a few breaths from eternity, and they've never prepared to meet God. Never. It's not that they didn't have the opportunity, they just didn't seem to feel it was the right time. It's not that they didn't know the way of salvation, because they knew it crystal clear. It's not that they had no Christian friends that witnessed to them, because they worked with people who spoke to them about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not that they didn't know about heaven, because they knew at the end of life there was something beyond the grave, but they still didn't come to Christ. And they died without hope. Friend, can I ask you tonight, have you ever thought about this? That whenever life runs its course, and death comes, and eternity has to be faced, could you say that it's well with your soul? You see, the thing is that there are many people who believe they're just here and they die and that's the end of it. That's not what the Bible actually says. What the Bible says is this, that it's appointed unto man once to die. After that, there's judgment. There's a day when you will be called to stand before God's judgment bar. And that day will reveal everything that perhaps you have never even considered yet. But the worst of all and the most solemn thing of all, that even though you knew the way of salvation, and even though you heard the gospel preached, and even though Christian friends warned you to flee from the wrath to come, you died without a Savior. And you died without salvation. You stood in the presence of Christ and He said, "Depart from me. I never knew you." What a warning comes from the man before us tonight on the pages of Scripture. Important lessons from a foolish farmer. Because this man was living well, but he was living with all the wrong priorities in life. This man was leaving soon, though he didn't know it. And he had made no preparation whatsoever for eternity. What about you? What about me? Because the reality is that one day we'll be leaving too. There's only one life to live. This is not a rehearsal. And one day, like this man, you and I will go the way of all the earth. It might be sudden. It might even be quicker than we think. We could have our plans about the summer and the plans about Christmas and the plans about this and the plans about that. And God just might step in and say, "Thou fool, tonight, thy soul is required of thee." If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you have not yet made preparation and come to the foot of that old rugged cross, I urge you to do that. And I urge you to do it tonight. Because tomorrow
Yes, tomorrow just might be too late. And that's why the Bible says, seek the Lord while he's yet to be found. And going back to what Ruth sang, be in time. Be in time while the voice of Jesus calls you. Be in time. You'll never have a better time than this to make it right with God. But you might never have another time like this. So I urge you, prepare to meet God. Let's pray together. Father, tonight we have listened to ministry from Ruth that has not only challenged us, but caused us to think seriously about eternal matters. We've read your word and we've looked at a man who lived life without God and it cost him greatly. And Father, we don't want that any sitting in this meeting tonight would do the same. We know that one of these days we will be leaving and leaving everything behind. So we pray, gracious God, that you would help us to prepare for the great eternity to come, and that we might each one come in simple faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who died for us, the one tonight who lives for us, the one who is coming again to take us home. Father, please grant that when the roll is called up yonder, that we'll all be there. Would you do a work on our hearts this evening that would be for your glory and for our eternal good? Part us with your blessing. Take us to our homes in safety. Continue with us throughout this incoming week. Those of us who know and love you, may we know your blessing to be upon us. And those who know you not, may the voice of God continue to speak within their hearts. We ask it all for Christ our Savior's sake. Amen. Amen.